Chip's dying to do that, aren't you?
Yes. He's deaf over there now, the guy with the headphones.
Not anymore.
That's an amazing tool. I use it as part of my five minute XML workflow.
Let me think, Linux is
interesting question there, actually, Larry. Yeah. So, welcome back after the break. And
now that's a ringtone.
I wonder you were mocking
this. So, just as the conversation was getting exciting there, it was pushed you all apart, so you couldn't actually engage in direct hand-to-hand combat. Some of the discussion there was beginning to veer in the direction of programming languages. And I'm interested to know whether Java is it. Or, you know, we've talked about the second wave of the Java platform. Is the next second wave of the Java platform going to be programmed in Java? Is Java doomed and about to be replaced by something that is more appropriate? Is there a place where other programming languages are going to run on the Java platform? And does anyone care in an era of drag, drop, and deploy? So what do you think?
I want to go back to Smalltalk.
So actually does Mike.
Smalltalk is coming back, you know. Seaside Framework is getting all sorts of deployment. Should I spend a minute on the session we had yesterday?
Yeah.
We had a really interesting session at Java 1 yesterday, and we had 3 10-minute dissertations. One was from a company called Coucho, who have this thing, I mentioned it once, they have this PHP that compiles to bytecodes and runs faster than native PHP on the JVM. Quercus, that's right, or Quercus.
Quercus,
right. Then there was the JRuby guys, who have got Rails applications running on the JVM now, and they also fired up an interactive Ruby shell and typed Swing stuff into it and got a thing with a button to pop up and so on. And the third one was a presentation from Phobos, which is an internal Skunk Works, which is doing, brace yourselves, server-side JavaScript on the JVM, and it's like just building Ajax applications where all the code on both sides is in the same language.
Welcome back.
Once you get over the initial shock, it actually looks kind of seductive. So without offering any opinions, I offer that by way of sort of evidence relevant to Simon's question.
So Larry, you're itching to say something.
I'm itching to say something. So I think that the greatest thing that's since sliced bread for the budding language designers of the world is the Java virtual machine, right? Because basically we've taken all of the boring parts of building and developing new programming languages out of their hands and given them a platform in which they can build languages that do whatever they can imagine and they can deploy it on the Java platform. They don't have to go to all of the trouble of spending 3 years writing a C-based interpreter, dealing with memory management, integrating with the underlying operating system functionality. They generate Java bytecode and they're done. Right. This is a great opportunity for everyone in this room to invent their own programming language.
But I mean, you know, a web page I've been linking to ever since I've been able to link web pages is Robert Togstorff's programming languages for the VM web page. There's been 200 programming languages that run on the Java VM since time immemorial, to most of the current generation anyway. And and yet no one uses any of them. So, you know, why is it going to be any different this time around?
I think it's going to change because, you know, vendors like BEA and Java, I mean, Graham Hamilton stood up yesterday and basically put the diagram on the board that says he wants to go out and embrace new developer communities, and I think that's going to be the driving force. Is we want JavaScript on the server side. We want PHP on the server side.
What's the interface description for the server-side JavaScript talking to the client-side JavaScript?
Oh, that's a whole topic.
Let's not change topics. Let's go there next.
There is an important thing to keep in mind when you're evaluating whether these scripting languages are good for the VM, and that not all of them compile to bytecode. As a matter of fact, most of them don't. They're still interpreted.
But I mean, Bean Shell is interpreted.
Yeah.
So being interpreted doesn't mean you can't use the VM.
Yeah, it's not a question of being interpreted or not. It's a question of using the JVM interface.
So I'm a committer on the Groovy project, and you know. You might have seen that, you know, people proposed a JSR around Invoke Dynamic, and that was sort of an idea I had, you know, 2 years ago when I started working on it. But after looking at all the languages that have come out, I, more and more I think it was probably a bad idea because not everybody has the same dispatch policy. So it's very difficult to take, you know, the way Ruby invokes milks methods and the way Python does and the way Groovy does and the way Java does and put them all in this one instruction. But then further, I've seen that, you know, if you actually think about it, you can compile down to bytecode a dynamic language to, you know, especially if you've got hot swap in such a way that you can optimize these things. So I don't think that's going to be a big issue. The big issue that I think, you know, whether or not Java is the last language or not, is that first of all, Java is a moving target, and you know, no, Java 1.5 is not the last language. What Java is changes, you know, all, you know, yearly. So I think that's a big advantage for it in the sense that, yeah, we might still be using something called Java, you know, years and years from now. Well, most of surgically people will be maintaining it. But you know, we may still be programming new code in it as well, but it may not be it may not be your father's Java, so to speak. You know, one of the things that I used to say when I was at WebLogic when we first started there is like, we even in 96 we thought, you know what, maybe this is the last thing, and if there is another thing, it's gonna be Java with versioning. Because that's the only thing they left out. And you know, and then I was on the JSR, you know, the module JSR, and now there's OSGI, and maybe we will actually even have, and then now there's going to be, you know, versioning and package in the language in 1.6 finally. You know, maybe we are able to evolve it forwards, and eventually, you know, you'll either program in Java, or you're a systems programmer, or you drag and drop stuff, as someone said. You know, maybe there doesn't need to be an in-between.
Yeah, well, I think it's crazy to think that it's the end of languages, and clearly it's not. I mean, you can even survey the 10 or 11 years of Java, and you've seen there's been many new languages invented. I would say sort of shockingly fewer than the prior generation, because I think actually new languages are a fantastic thing, right? Because it's the way that people creatively think about mapping abstractions onto the machine, whether they're a new systems programming language or a new general purpose language or a new domain-specific language. For business process, for linear algebra, whatever your problem set is, I think that this is a great thing, and I agree with what Larry's saying. I think that the JVM is one of the great enablers of that. Now, the fact that few people have actually adopted the language that have been done primarily for research purposes on top of the JVM is not really the point. I think that a lot of creativity has happened, and because you factored out some of the hard bits, I wouldn't say the boring bits, then you've made the creativity that much better. However, I think that there's a lot that could be done to the JVM, you know, learning from the CLR, for instance, you know, and generalizing it and making it more appropriate for multiple languages, just make it that much better.
One reason those languages have not been widely adopted is because a lot of influential people kind of sneered at them, you know, that they really did seem make have the feeling that Java was all you needed. Now, for those of you guys who have not been to the mat with Python or Ruby, you really should. I mean, they are qualitative, large qualitative steps forward in productivity for certain problem domains.
Closures by themselves would be...
Python is great. Ruby is beyond great. Ruby is just absolutely seductively wonderful.
But it's older than Java. That's
true.
Yeah.
Well, just one comment from the mobile side is that I think we do have to look at the proliferation of Java into a billion plus devices, and that's not going to go away. I mean, all the manufacturers are continuing down that, and with the steps forward that we're making, we're finally, you know, we're on the verge of getting SOA on the mobile device with JSR 232. You know, think about the idea of middleware coming down to a mobile device. Yeah. We've never had that. We've had a single monolithic application model with MIDP, and look how far we've gotten. When we now bring this in and we open up this whole middleware space with services on the mobile platform, and those services can then be run underneath the hosted languages, whether it's a scripting hosted on a VM or Java widgets on a VM or whatever, it opens up a continuing path for, you know, 2 billion and 3 billion devices that are going to have this out there. It changes, you know, it changes the landscape.
Yeah, but the thing those billions of devices have isn't actually Java. It has the bytecodes. right? Because it's really got the JVM, right? I mean, that was always the cool thing about Java, is it divided the problem into a set of expressions, and then the mechanism for executing them interoperably, right? And the interoperable execution, right, is what all the compatibility stuff was always designed to protect, right? It isn't about, you know, maintaining the absolute syntax of the language in some sense. It's about enabling this common runtime environment that is the thing that's going to be really durable. But you know, I also agree that you know, to our previous discussion, right, examples of bad tools that are maybe this leakage notion are really tools that are trying to be other languages, that are trying to hijack the concepts and redirect them to some other purpose, rather than simply inventing a language suitable for this. So, you know, we make the physicists now do complex dot blah, 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 and they're just, you know, being driven nuts by typing all this stuff, right? And things like the IDEs and tools that help you scale, right? I mean, you gave the example of the card catalog. That's, to me, the epitome of IDEs, right? Because we have search engines to make the internet usable, because otherwise we'd never find it. And you have card catalogs to make libraries usable. You have IDEs because the volume of classes you can address simply, you know, defies things, right? Yep. And that all works for scaling. Where it runs into brick walls is if you really wanted to say something else, right? And then the domain-specific language shows up, and you know, the reason those 200 haven't worked is it's actually harder to write a good one than it is to write a bad one. So there's going to be a lot of chaff with this wheat.
All right.
I think what we've ignored thus far in the discussion that would probably add some clarity is the whole notion of governance and IT's influence over dev and dev's influence over IT is we're ignoring the hardware deployment model separate of the programming language. And at the end of the day, we've got two comets flying and have collided at each other. Java, JVMs, development in this object-oriented fashion, AOP and bytecode manipulation taking things to further and further layers of abstraction, and at the same time, smaller and smaller machines where if I lose one, I lose 1/100th of my capacity, et cetera. And so our new definition of the business platform, from an IT perspective, they don't care how dev writes the code that runs on the machines. What they care about is it's a lot of plug-and-play blades, and that's what they care about right now. And so the JVM, exactly like Larry is saying, makes it easy for people like us to get in and help developers spend their time in the language and solving business problems and not dealing with IT's demand for make these five machines work together as one.
Right.
And so the abstractions are very powerful. In every single talk I give, at every single conference I go to, I hearken back to every seed project started with malloc and free, and I had to build my hash tables and my linked list before I could solve any business problems or deliver any value add to the business. And I love that. That's what I revel in. But at the end of the day, the number of people who laugh at that and recognize that that's the old state of the art is becoming fewer and fewer, and I think that's a great thing.
Yeah, so I think, you know, the multiple languages are good for the VM, and I think there's a class in the scripting world and sort of the .NET, the Microsoft world that are looking for something small and quick. But, you know, I've never talked to an enterprise customer who said, you know, love the tech stack, but, you know, can you give me more languages, right? And I think the only reason we moved to Java is because the platform changed, right, and the actual runtime changed. So I do think Java's here for a long time. I agree with Sam, I think, and you to some extent. I think it will evolve, and we can add more abstractions on it to help describe it in a higher level. But, I mean, I do think as for that core thing, it's going to have to take something big like a new platform change to get people to go through this again. So, I mean, I think there will always be sort of the outskirts fighting for the different types of, you know, scripting languages and fun kind of languages.
I think it's for better or for worse, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean,
yeah.
You.
Let's face it, Java is the COBOL of our generation.
Right? Take your glasses off.
Why do people think that's a bad thing?
Yeah, being COBOL is good.
Yeah, COBOL defined absolutely a safe technology choice for an entire generation of programmers.
I'm old enough that COBOL was the COBOL for my generation.
I think it goes for the hardware platform.
Yeah,
exactly.
A friend of mine already ran into it, Ruby.
But just like eventually COBOL gives way. Uh-huh. You know, the idea that Java will never give way to another language.
Have you not used Object COBOL?
Sorry, my last COBOL was something like 72.
There's a COBOL
like,
to the
game. Like
that was COBOL jumping the
shark. Of North America.
Invoke method on object with parameters.
So
giving.
Do they have an object section or something?
I think they do, actually. Yeah.
Yes, at the current, you know, let's be fair to Java. I mean, the Java language, not the Java, the Java language still has two big advantages over all the upstarts. One is static typing, much knowledge who may sneer at it, gives the IDE a lot of help. You know, and they're building good stuff for Eclipse on for those other languages, but they don't go, you know, the kind of refactoring and auto-completion support in Java is just way better because, you know, it knows what everything is, right, as soon as it sees a variable name, or even the beginning of a variable name. And the second thing is, one of the great things about dynamic languages is duct typing, right? You know, you say, here's something, I'm going to call this method on it, mm-hmm. right? And at compile time, yeah, okay, there might be a method there and there might not. And you know, in Java, it's basically a jump to a binary offset in the JVM because it knows at compile time exactly what's what, right? And